you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is Wyatt, the Screaming Demon Anderson, and you are listening to Talking Metal.
Hi, I'm Mark Striegel, host and producer of this show since 2005. On this episode, we're going to talk some rock, some metal, and
anything else we feel like.
We're also going to jam some tunes, have a drink, and share some honest opinions. Thanks for listening to the Talking Metal Podcast. Let's get things started.
Hey, welcome to another episode. Hope you guys are doing well. We have Wyatt Anderson from White Wizard. He is back in the band. They are back with a brand new record, which I think is really, really strong. We're going to talk to Wyatt in just a bit. And right now, as my co-host from the Mars Attacks podcast and also one of the main contributors to TalkingRock.net, my website, Victor Ruiz. Hey, Victor, how are you?
Good. How are you, Mark?
Good, man. Good. I'm so glad you could join us on this episode because you're really, through the years, I mean, I've always considered you to kind of be an expert on this band, White Wizard. I mean, all the drama that's gone on with them and all the good music, first and foremost, that they've put out through the years. And did you ever think that they would come back, especially with like Wyatt back in the position of lead vocalist? I mean, I have to admit, 2-3 years ago, I kind of thought maybe we'd heard the end of White Wizard, and here they are. Did you have faith that they would return?
I think I was in the same boat that you were in, that you know, that we may have seen, we possibly could have seen the end of the band because John had taken over as lead vocals and released that one track,
right?
With him essentially doing everything, and based on, I guess we had interviewed him at the time as well, and it sounded as if, you know, that may have been the last hurrah at that moment. And less than a year later, it was either him or James J. LaRue contacted me saying, "Hey, I'm back in White Wizard." I'm like,
wow.
What? You know, that's weird with everything that had gone on. They're like, well, and James had said, well, I straightened everything out with John and whatnot. We're cool. You know, I just want to put out some cool music with him. And it just went slowly evolving from there. They had done they started to work on both White Wizard and another project that was called Octane Gypsy, I believe, which is also a White Wizard track.
Okay. Right.
And that sounds nothing like White Wizard because it has keyboards and different elements that White Wizard doesn't have. And a few months after that, I remember John contacting me again saying, "Hey, Wyatt's back in the band. You're really going to love what we're working on." And for me personally, you know, I thought it was pretty cool that you essentially had, you know, my favorite singer that had been in the band and one of the, I mean, I think what James had done with John in the past was really great. And I really loved what James had done with Holy Grail as well. And so it's cool that they sort of, as you said, put the band back together. And it's almost like it was funny. I was thinking about it when I was writing the review for the new album. It would. This is almost like getting different, eras of, say, Deep Purple together, the Mach 1, 2, and 3, and sort of make almost like an all-star band out of all the different eras of that band. It's almost the same. I'm not saying that White Wizard is Deep Purple, but it's almost like that in the sense that right. You have, you know, Mach 1 guitarist, Mach 2 lead singer, and even with this recent tour that just wrapped up, they had Will Wallner was joining them on second guitar. So
yeah.
That even extended things.
Yeah, it's, you know, and this is a band that's had a lot of people in and out of the band. But like you said, this is almost like a best of lineup, if you will. And that's not taking anything away from some of the players that I thought have just contributed greatly. I mean, Eric Kluber is such a great player. I know he and John don't really get along or didn't get along. But when I saw them with Eric on stage, I mean, Eric really brought something to the live performance of what they did and was just such a in the live setting, a powerful part of that band. And Joseph Michael, I thought, was just an incredibly talented and great singer. I know he's gone on to do other stuff. What's his current thing? Winter, what is it? Do you know the name of it?
Witherfell, Witherfell, is it called?
Yeah.
And that has Jake Dwyer, who was also in White Wizard on guitar.
Yes, yeah. Witherfell.
Yeah, I believe it's Witherfell.
Yeah, Witherfell. Yeah, that's it. And that's, of course, with Joseph Michael and guitarist Jake Dwyer, drummer Adam Sagan, who I believe died, right? Did he die?
Yeah, they just had on Facebook or Twitter, Instagram, one of their social medias the other day. It would have been a year since he had passed away. I think with a lot of these bands, because even Jake is the guitarist in Iced Earth as well. Right. With a lot of these bands, and this is actually something that I discussed with Eric a while back when I interviewed him, with just how the musical climate is out there in California, a lot of these guys are in multiple bands sort of seeing where, you know, where lightning is going to strike, per se. So if I'm not mistaken, Adam was in the same boat. He was part of several different groups, and this was one of the last bands that he had recorded with before he passed away.
Definitely. And you know what? Let's keep talking about White Wizard, but first, let's hear some music. Let's start with a brand new track. This was, I think, the first single they released off the Infernal Overdrive record, which is a brand new record. I consider it to be very strong. You wrote your review of it. It sounds like you enjoyed the record, too. That review is written in the, I believe, the review section on TalkingRock.net, so please check that out, guys. Victor has a lot of stuff that goes up on my site. Again, it's TalkingRock.net, and we always appreciate everything you do for us, Victor, so thank you, and please keep it coming. So check that out, but in the meantime, let's check out Storm the Shores off the brand new White Wizard record, and then we'll hear from Wyatt, the vocalist of White Wizard.
Fire rig their guns into
it's Mark Striegel of the Talking Metal Podcast, and on the line from White Wizard, vocalist Wyatt Anderson, Screaming Demon. How are you, Wyatt?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Good, man. Good. And I'm psyched because you are back in the White Wizard fold, and I've heard some of these new songs, Storm the Shores, The Illusion Tears, Voyage of the Wolf Raiders. I mean, this stuff is epic. It's great. And it's so nice to hear your voice back playing with John's music again. Such a great combination. Let's talk about your return to this band. You've obviously had some being in and out of White Wizard through the years. What brought back your return to the band at this time?
Well, I had a lot of fans contact me, you know, saying that they missed me being in the band, and that they missed the old sound. And John had contacted me, you know, saying that he had wrote this good album, wanted to know if I was interested in it, you know. And I kind of figured I needed to come back for the fans. That's pretty much the priority of everything, is, you know, your fans. So you tend to try to make them as happy as possible.
Cool. So obviously, because you've been in and out of the band in the past, there were obviously some sort of differences, or for some reason you never stayed with the band consistently. Have those problems or whatever those issues were been worked out, or are you just able to set everything aside and just know that, hey, I'm here to make good music for the fans, and that's really all that's important?
Oh, no, everything's worked out. We, you know, kind of smoothed over the wrinkles, you know, got all of the problems out of the way that we were having, as far as, you know, me being in the band and me leaving, the problems that we were having. We've got it all smoothed out. Everything's good. I'm back to stay. So.
That's great news. That's great news. And let's talk about the new record, Infernal Overdrive by White Wizard. Again, Wyatt Anderson, who we're talking to right now, is back on vocals, and you sound just great, man. I mean, the songs are epic, like I said. Do you feel that the style, I mean, I know you haven't been in the band on every single record, but do you feel the style of White Wizard has kind of shifted a little bit with this band? I mean, personally, I feel like I'm hearing maybe some more Rush, some more Maiden. I mean, we always got some of that with White Wizard, but it seems like it's even more prominent on this album. Is that a fair statement? Where do you think you guys are musically on this record?
Yeah, we tried to make it a little bit more of a, you know, I guess you would kind of say progressive somewhat. I know we've pretty much matured in our songwriting as far as that goes. You know, the direction that we've seemed to be heading in is, we're pretty much set in the way that we have everything, you know, as far as songwriting goes and the way the style is. So, yeah, I think we're pretty much kind of set in the way that we've got everything now. We're pretty much wanting to keep it on the same level of what we've been writing, but just add a little bit more to it as much as we can.
Yeah, because, I mean, some of these songs are really, like, epic. I mean, there's, like, 11-minute songs on here, 8-minute songs, 9-minute songs. Was that a conscious effort to kind of, hey, we're not gonna worry about any boundaries here. We're just going to kind of take things where they go.
I don't think it was really a conscious effort. I just think it was what was called for. Yeah, the songs just developed the way that they were. You know, I mean, unfortunately, sometimes with songwriting, you know, you tend to might overextend some things a little bit, but I don't think we did that this time. I just think that we wrote what was, you know, what we were feeling and what we wanted to put down on an album.
Right on. Your voice, as always, sounds just incredible on this record. How do you keep your voice in such great shape? Do you have to take care of it? Are you conscious, like, hey, I don't smoke, I don't drink, do you like, or is it just a natural thing that you have going on for you?
I try. I don't smoke. I don't try not to drink as much as I used to. Fortunately, you know, it's pretty much added to my health.
Good.
But yeah, water. You know, I try to stay away from anything that's going to affect me in any kind of bad way as far as that goes. But as far as any kind of and vocal exercise or anything. I don't really do any of that. I mean, it's just kind of a natural thing.
Cool. And, you know, like we said, you've been in and out of this band over the past, well, I guess, what, like 8 years? You've been in and out of the band, I think, 2 or 3 times. When you're not doing White Wizard, what...
Yeah, almost 10 years.
10 years, okay. When you're not doing White Wizard, what have you been up to musically? Are there other bands and projects that you've been working on?
Well, no, I just put together a cover band in my hometown and just kind of used that as a outlet as far as music goes and to keep my voice, you know, in shape. But other than that, yeah, I haven't had any real projects or anything.
Okay, cool. And you mentioned, you know, it's been 10 years since you and John have first started working together. Where did you guys first meet?
Actually, he contacted me off of MySpace. He had seen this band that I was in at the time, and I guess, you know, heard my voice and liked what he heard and contacted me and asked me if I'd be interested in auditioning, which this was the type of music that I really wanted to do. So I flew out to L.A. and auditioned for the band, you know, and that's kind of how I got the role.
Very good. Very good. And again, the new record, White Wizard, is Infernal Overdrive by White Wizard, the brand new record. It's out now. By the time you're hearing this, it's out, guys. Definitely pick it up. Storm the Shores was the first single that was released back, I think, in November, and just blew my mind. And there's so much great stuff on this record. Wyatt sounds great on the record. Yep. I'm so glad he's back. Wyatt, will you go out on tour with White Wizard?
Yeah, actually, we've got a few shows on the West Coast right now that we're prepping for next week. Actually, we start on the 10th at the Whiskey, and it goes from there. We're doing about 5 dates this coming up week.
Cool. And when you say we're doing 5 dates, can you go over the current lineup of the band who will be playing live with you?
It will be myself on vocals, John Leon on bass, James LaRue on lead guitar. We are also having Will Wallner come back for guitar. Wow. And Dylan Marks on drums.
Very good, very good. And is there a label behind the record, Infernal Overdrive, or is this like just a self-release?
M Theory Audio.
Cool, cool. And
headed by Marco Baglieri, I believe is what his name is.
Cool. Now, you mentioned that you're doing some dates in California and out west there. Is there a chance that you could get out east, or is that financially a tough thing for the band to do?
I mean, right now we're just kind of trying to pick and choose what we're doing as far as dates go. This is kind of a test run, I guess you would call it, to see how things are going to go. We're going to see how everything pans out, you know, hopefully for the best, and go from there. We've got a date up in March for London, England, at the Underground, and we also have one coming up in August for a festival in Germany. But other than that, we don't have anything planned for right now, but there, you know, I'm sure there's going to be some things in the works.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Wyatt, before I let you go, final question. Who are some of your favorite vocalists and your biggest influences as far as being a singer goes?
My influences are obviously Bruce Dickinson, Halford, and Dio. Some of the singers that I've actually positively liked, Worrell Dane, you know, of course, it's sad of his passing, but Worrell Dane, Ralph Sheepers from Primal Fear, Matt Barlow, used to be in Iced Earth, and, you know, Ashes of Ares and Pyramids. I'm more or less into that type of singing style.
Cool, cool. And is there a place that the Talking Metal listeners can get in touch with you online? Are you on Twitter or Facebook? What's the best place for the listeners to reach out to you?
I'm on Facebook, yes.
All right, cool. And guys, we will have...
Yes, I'm on Facebook. It's just under Wyatt C. Anderson.
Cool. And we'll have that link through the show notes on talkingmetal.com for today's episode. And Wyatt, best of luck for you. I really hope you can get out to New York City again, to the New Jersey area. If you do, I will definitely be there. Guys, White Wizard is back. The new record, Infernal Overdrive. It sounds just great. Do yourself a favor and absolutely pick up this release. It's a must-have for the Talking Metal listeners. Thank you, Wyatt.
Awesome. Thanks, Mark.
By White Wizard off the classic record Over the Top. Victor, you picked that song out for us to play. Nice one. And that was a great record. That was, I guess, that's about 8 years old at this point, at least, right? That was a strong record. Yeah. And I believe that's the tour I may have saw them on. I'm not sure.
Yep. Yeah. That's the one album that Eric Kluber played on.
Right. Okay. Very good. And great stuff. And on a future episode, in just a few episodes, we're going to have an interview with John from White Wizard. So definitely stay tuned for that. And White Wizard, definitely support them. You know, it's like you mentioned the Deep Purple thing, the comparisons. And I hear what you're saying. You know, the one thing Deep Purple had was financial success. And a band like White Wizard, and this is no disrespect to them, because I believe they're in the same boat as most bands out there now doing this stuff. When you throw in the fact that they go on these tours and there's probably zero to little financial reward at all I mean, they probably could make more money driving a truck back at home. And they go out on these tours. That has to play into personalities and people getting agitated and irritated too. It's a sad thing because it affects so many great bands that in days of old would have had the opportunity to at least make some money off of CD sales. You know, even if they weren't selling a million records back in the day, you know, you could still do okay. I mean, I remember not a metal band, but the band Ween, like they always went out there and they would sell, you know, 100, 200,000 copies of the record, and they would do all right. They weren't living as millionaires, but they made money doing what they were doing. It's like nowadays, it's almost non-existent unless you're just immensely successful and can fill big, big theaters. It's virtually impossible to make the money that you'd make, no offense, but flipping burgers back home, you know, and that's why all the more admiration I have for these guys who are truly artists at this point, you know, the limousines and the, you know, 50 groupies backstage and money falling from the sky. Those days are over. I mean, these guys are out there doing it because they believe in the music and they love the music that they're doing. And wow. And that to me is where White Wizard is at right now. So hats off to these guys.
Yeah, I agree. I think it came as a shock to a lot of people a few years back when it was revealed that Chuck Billy of Testament was working as a manager of a trucking company or something like that. His friend had a trucking company. When he wasn't out on the road, he was working for this company. And you and I know other musicians that were in similar boats and even left, you know, a prominently named band because they were making more money back home and their family situation and whatnot. And for a lot of these people, it doesn't work. You know, like you're saying, there's no money. So even when I ran into Will Wallner back in October, who played relatively close to me here in Spain, he mentioned he was on vacation. He essentially was on a paid vacation because him and his wife got paid to tour Spain and do 2 weeks worth of shows.
Cool.
So for you know, for all these people, like you're saying, the David Lee Roth lifestyle of the 80s with the limos and the jacuzzi in the back and all those accoutrements, it's gone. It's done. And
yeah,
unfortunately, there's, you know, as you said, there's mega successful bands. And then there's a huge drop off to bands that are somewhat successful. And then there's almost an abyss left after that. You know, there's no one else making money.
And, you know, I really wish just the industry in general, you know, I wish we get some like mega rich Saudi royal prince or something who loves hard rock and heavy metal music to just invest in what we do. Because, you know, high tide floats all boats, you know, and we need the financial backing of this industry to bring us all back up, whether we're podcasters, whether we're out there touring, whether we are a record label trying to put out stuff. We need corporate money back in it. And I know for the longest time it was like, oh, fuck corporate rock and roll. I'm saying let's embrace corporate rock and roll. Let's bring this industry back. Because the kids aren't into it anymore, you know, and if they are, the young ones especially, we need to give them as much encouragement, whether it's financial or just, you know, or what, just to continue this art form, because it's dying, guys. It really is. And I really, you know, I want to get a TV show back. I mean, that metal show's now gone, and whether you like that or you hated it or whatever, anything like that helps. You know, we need stuff back in on television, in the, you know, money behind these websites to make them even bigger and better. You know, Loudwire, some people complain about Loudwire, but at the end of the day, that's part of a big corporate media conglomerate, and somebody there probably doesn't make a lot of money off the Loudwire portion of that conglomerate, but they're still, they believe in the hard rock and metal music, and I think it's great that sites like that have a budget to exist and are paying people to report on this music that we like. We need more of it. We need this back in the mainstream, guys. And that's really going to help this art form as a whole, in my opinion. Let me know what you think. I'm at Talking Metal on Twitter, or send me an email at mark@talkingmetal.com. Yeah, what do you think, Victor?
Yeah, I'm with you there. A few of the articles that I've written for the site have been me sort of thinking out loud along those lines, whether it's, taking into consideration illegal downloads, or taking into, looking at the future with festivals and all these different things. I think people are sort of kidding themselves to not realize that all these other great forms of music, whether it's blues or jazz, doo-wop music, so on and so forth, had a big climax at one point in time and sort of plateaued after that. And rock-based music has been lucky to really be at a very high point for the better part of, almost 50 years since, a little before the Beatles and whatnot. In comparison to everything else, you could almost think that it may have overstayed its welcome or whatnot.
Right.
But what I'm trying to get at is, if you don't have that type of, backing, as you mentioned, a lot of people, even with the old Talking Metal forums, that metal show sucks. Well, that metal show is another avenue to get money involved, to get awareness out there, to get kids turned on to the next wave of bands that are coming out, or even turned on to something that they may not have listened to otherwise. People don't realize that. We aren't going to hear White Wizard on Top 40 radio. We're not going to hear them on a Z100 in New York, per se.
Right.
There has to be some big platform out there, and obviously there are podcasts that are interviewing, Wyatt and John, outside of Talking Metal. I know they were on the Classic Metal Show, and they were on a bunch of other podcasts, I should say, which is great because it helps spread the word. It helps let people know, and God forbid I've run into issues with people not wanting me to carry their podcast information on my site on Earpeeler.
Right.
God forbid that someone isn't aware of a show or an artist or whatnot. Any type of cross promotion is great and shit. If you have, as you're saying, a Saudi prince or some Russian oil or Russian banker or whatever, was the old famous story with Kiss playing in Jamaica or the Bahamas or whatever that was, where Tommy Thayer's first show with the band actually took place. That was big money that came in there and actually, not only helped pay for the band, but that's a big part of their history, I think.
Yeah.
So moving forward, if there was someone to come in and say, screw it, I have X amount of money and this is my passion project. I want to promote metal bands. I want to promote hard rock bands.
Well,
similar
Mark
to what
you're Cuban,
saying with Loudwire.
Mark Cuban is a billionaire. He owns sports teams. He has his own TV show, Shark Tank. He has his hands in dozens and dozens of corporations. He also, he also owns this TV station, co-owns it with Ryan Seacrest, which you might not know about it in Spain, Victor, but it's a big TV station here. It's called Access.
And oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, he co-owns that with Ryan Seacrest. And Mark Cuban is a fan of hard rock music, so I know they presented that metal show to him and he didn't like the exact format of it. I think this is public knowledge. And they ended up passing on it. which is fine. But knowing that this guy likes hard rock and commercial metal music, I plead to him to get a hard rock heavy metal show on. I know Eddie Trunk does some stuff on the station. There's a new show coming out hosted by Eddie Trunk about festivals. I'm looking forward to that, music festivals. Sammy Hagar has a show on the station. They air a lot of hard rock and heavy metal concerts. How about a heavy metal, hard rock, or just plain old rock show, weekly show on Axis? By a guy who owns the station, Mark Cuban, who we're told likes that style of music. So that's my plea to Mark Cuban and any other billionaires who happen to be listening to this episode of Talking Metal with special guests Victor Ruiz and Wyatt Anderson. So there you go. We need help. We need help. We need to save what we have left here and build it back again. I think it can be done. I think if the right players were in place, I believe we could, make it not back to what it was, but I think we could build it back. I almost said make it great again. I did, but I didn't want to go there. But yeah. It is great. It's never stopped being great. It just it could be bigger, and it could be, I think, healthier financially, and I think that spawns even more great art, you know. So that's my rant.
I agree. Cool. I agree.
Cool. Well, we're going to wrap it up there, and I want to encourage everyone to check out Victor's work on talkingrock.net, as well as his Ear Peeler website and his podcast, Mars Attacks, and Galaxy of Geeks. Is that Galaxy of Geeks is still alive, right?
Yeah, we're putting out an episode shortly, which is the best of 2017, and that's, I mean, we do that more or less once a month.
Okay, cool. To anybody who doesn't understand what Ear Peeler is, which is a site you run, can you quickly explain that to people and maybe give it a plug?
Sure. Ear Peeler is a podcasting news site. And when I started podcasting, I ran into issues with what I thought was doing great interviews and not getting the word out there because the news wasn't being picked up by some of the bigger news sites. And in all fairness to them, there are tons of shows out there. I'm pulling from 600 different news feeds right now to populate the news that's on Ear Peeler. So essentially, Talking Metal puts out an episode, and what I do is I receive notification that a new episode has been released, and I post it up on Ear Peeler. So The idea behind it is to spread the word of podcasting and to help, as I mentioned before, to help cross-promote both bands that are being interviewed and shows, because a lot of times maybe White Wizard is on this episode, for example. Maybe people have never heard of White Wizard before, and due to, you know, Wyatt being on here and hearing about Ear Peeler, someone goes to Ear Peeler now and decides to check out, well, what other podcasts has White Wizard or Wyatt or John Leon been on? And you'll be able to find every other episode that they've been on recently with various shows, and that may lead you to listen to more episodes by that specific podcast. The whole idea is to raise awareness of podcasting and get the word out there. And, you know, if I can help, you know, get people to know other shows or other, you know, artists or whatnot as a result, I mean, that's essentially what I'm trying to do. There are a lot of great podcasts out there. There are a lot of hardworking podcasters out there. And unfortunately, I don't think a lot of them are receiving the notoriety that they deserve.
Right.
Does Talking Metal or Eddie Trunk or the classic metal shows or shows that are big like that necessarily benefit from what I'm doing? I mean, you could argument that, there can be an argument there to be said that it's opposite, where I'm benefiting more from using the big names on there. But at the same time, I think as a whole, as you said before, if the medium is strong and people are able to, or people are aware of what podcasts are and what shows, you know, in the same more or less genre are available, I do think that it helps turn more people on to other shows and other bands that are being featured on these shows.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, we're not billionaires. We're not Saudi princes. No. So the thing is that it's like I said before, I think that we all kind of need to work together to bring back just an awareness in general to this great style of music that we all love. And Victor's doing that with Ear Peeler. And if it brings a few more ears to the table of an episode of a podcast, that's great, and we appreciate you supporting what we do, Victor, with Ear Peeler. Definitely, guys, check out Ear Peeler. We'll have it linked through today's show notes on talkingmetal.com, and do what you can. You know, leave a nice review for the podcasts you love on iTunes. Leave a 5-star review. You know, if they have a PayPal donation or a Patreon page, support the podcasts you love at those places. You know, use people's Amazon links. A lot of the podcasts, you know, have Amazon links or blogs. It doesn't have to be a podcast, or websites that support this style of music that we love. Do whatever, even just tweeting somebody and saying, hey, I love your blog. I enjoyed this article. I enjoyed this episode of your podcast. That stuff is helpful too, you know, so just let people know that you support what they do and you appreciate what they do in any way you can. And I'll leave it on that. Victor, thank you again for your time on today's episode. Let's take a song off the new White Wizard to take us out. Any ones that pop into your head? I know there's Cocoon and Critical Mass was pretty interesting. Any songs off the top of your head, you know, you really enjoy off the Infernal Overdrive record by White Wizard that could take us out here?
Sure. Both of those tracks are cool, but I would go with the title track, Infernal Overdrive, which I think is a great track. I think it's one of the best songs that they've released as a band.
Yeah, let's do it.